I got a question for you, Jez.
Yes.
Have you ever passed out standing up, leaning against a wall with your dick out in public?
Only a few times.
How do you do that?
Only it's like 5 in the morning. This is considered reasonable.
Can you for the listeners and say me who doesn't know, like, what's a reasonable amount of times?
One a week. Yeah, one a week.
I'm in a real identity crisis here, Al.
Nothing penetrates within Dawson.
Who do you see in the mirror?
Hey.
Oh, Grey, hot.
Hello and welcome to the Incomplete series, your incomplete guide to every television show you've never watched. This is the podcast where we watch the first episode of a television series and then the very last episode of a television series and, you know, try and work out what happened in the middle and just talk shit about it. Joining me for, I think, the 22nd straight episode, well, I've missed one of them, but is Jeremy Wasman. Jerome.
Thank you. 22nd straight.
Yeah.
I missed one.
Did you?
Yeah.
Did you miss one?
I was over. We were both over. We both missed one.
Oh, you're right. I apologize. That's why Benoit filled in.
You both missed Terminator Cell.
Oh, right.
Is that what it's called?
I believe that's the title.
The Sarah Connor Chronicles.
It's pronounced like that.
Yeah.
No, it was
Terminator Salvation.
Yeah. There's a lot of A's.
Yeah, lots of A's.
Sarah Connor Chronicles.
Salvation.
Salvation.
We can't lie to the listeners twice in the first minute.
All right.
Morgan's already said we haven't missed one.
Exactly. So
we're going with Terminator Salvation.
All right.
Rewrite this.
That's the Sam Worthington one.
Mm. I know what it is.
Yeah, exactly. We were there. And Scott, how are you?
I'm well, thanks. I'm getting a bit sunburnt out in this hot Australian summer.
Oh, I know, right. Mm. Speaking of hot, the Old West.
Okay.
May I do something a little unusual?
Yeah, sure.
I'm going to do a second set of introductions.
Okay.
So for this edition, you are the town skeezy lawyer, you know, from the Old West. You got that crazy mustache, Jez, I'm pointing to you. And Scott, I've decided you will be the town doctor.
I thought you were going to say town squeeze.
Yeah.
Like that.
Yeah,
that's the village bicycle.
The village. One of both. You're the town doctor. I think you've got those sort of creepy aspects that Brad Dourif had.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
I like that you singled that out.
Yeah. You know, you got to go with something, don't you? Myself, I believe you've actually got a clip there for what I am.
The Mayor. Starring Homer Simpson.
Morgan Cole.
There we go. And of course, Aaron, if he were here, would be the sheriff.
Of course.
Where is Aaron?
Where is Aaron? I believe he's overseas.
Mm-hmm.
I believe he's trying to scale a mountain of some kind. A mountain.
The mountain.
Yeah, to his heart.
From Game of Thrones.
Mm. He's just climbing a dude. Interpret that whichever way you want.
For about a week and a half.
Yeah,
Jesus Christ.
Big dude.
It's a big...
A lot of man to climb. Call him the mountain because he's small.
Man to...
It's not an ironic
nickname. Like I said, not climbing his heart, climbing the mountain's heart.
Mm. Is that Kevin Kline's daughter, Amanda Kline?
Is there an Amanda Kline? I have no idea.
It was more of a zing than it was an actual question.
It's a bad zing.
A quick pro quo?
Yeah, just a quick one.
I'm sorry. Anyway, this is a bit that's how I made that work. This was a bit of a change. Deadwood, the Western HBO classic Deadwood. A bit of a
much revered.
Yeah, a sharp turn from where we were at in Wishbone a few weeks ago.
You reckon?
I don't think you
both
could
period pieces.
Wishbone didn't drop the word cunt as much as this show.
No. Less didn't set the record for. Most swear words in an episode or whatever this did.
This show really just lets it all hang out.
They went hard really early.
Yeah. It's kind of like the opposite to Westworld, where Westworld has just gratuitous amounts of nudity. Like just overloads of nudity. This was pre-HBO just loading up with nudity. They've just gone, nah, let's just fucking drop as many.
They realize what the people want. Mm. People have heard swear words.
Yeah. As many dicks as we can get into a TV series.
As many dicks as we can.
Yeah.
Westworld's quite... Everybody's really well-spoken.
Mm.
Whilst this is just like... This is one of the interesting things that I found out about... Well, that one of the only things that I knew about Deadwood, which is that there's lots of swearing. Mm. But obviously, like, those swear words didn't necessarily exist.
No, I read this as well.
Yeah.
They said that they wanted to use a lot of slang from the time, but it would have gone over most people's heads.
Mm.
So to have the same impact as the slang would have back then, they just needed to drop hard C's.
Yeah, right.
Constantly.
Yeah. Should we give a content warning early on in the episode?
Sure.
There is going to be some swearing
if you're listening to this
in
the car with your kids.
Yeah.
I don't know if we have any sort of, I don't know if any of our listeners have kids.
Oh, I'm sure there's a couple out there.
I'm not going to hold it against them if they do. But,
well, you know, start swearing. Speak for yourself.
I hope you swear to them a lot already, because if not, it's a baptism by fire.
Oh, they had to learn eventually, didn't they?
Yeah, they did. Yeah, lots of swearing. Not as much sort of, different sort of debauchery. Not as much nudity as the modern HBO show.
No, and not as much, probably it was reasonable. I mean, reasonably
Game of Thrones world that we live in.
Yeah, not as violent either.
You have to have at least 3 dongs in an episode, otherwise it won't get greenlit.
Yeah, exactly.
It's just one executive producer who's like, well, I'll sign on, but only if there's 3 dongs an episode.
Guy hangs
minimum
dong in it.
DPE. Yeah. Got to hit that 3 DPE, otherwise.
I tell you what's funny. I remember... as you know, I'm a big Stargate fan. No dongs, actually. Not a single
no
dong.
No dongs. You.
However, there is full frontal nudity in the very first episode.
Really?
Yeah.
How do you do that without a dong?
Yeah, well, it's female for full frontal nudity.
Ah, the female dong.
Yeah, the female dong. what do you call that?
Female dong.
Right.
Obviously.
But it was funny. I was listening to...
is it really the first episode of Stargate?
Very first episode. And I was
after that, it goes...
It
like
just goes
G.
PG, yeah. But it was funny because what happened was I was watching an interview with the creators of the show, and they were saying that because the show originally ran on Showtime before it went to Sci-Fi, like the first 3 seasons, so it was meant to be like very high production values, and for the time it was the first season or two. But
agree to disagree.
No. But that's the first. But this is 97, so it's
but people have money in 97. Yeah, what do you think? We're using shells as currency.
No, we're trading gold and putting credit over bars. But anyway, I digress. In the interview, he was talking about how, because they were on the Showtime run, that when they originally presented the script to them, they're like, oh, okay, geez, like, you know you're on Showtime. And they're like, yeah. Well, there's no like violence, no nudity. Mm-hmm. They literally said, you got to turn it up, dial it up to an M.
Oh, as in, they weren't like, you're on Showtime and there's no nudity on Showtime.
No, they said,
you
mean like,
you need some nudity.
They basically got show notes from the producers to put nudity in the show.
Oh, wow.
Because it wasn't shoehorned in there? How does it appear? What's the context?
It's like...
is it one of the main characters? Or?
No, it's a periphery character. But like, it's still...
Is it Teal'c?
Yeah, Teal'c gets his dong out the first one. No. It's like, it's one of like, it's Daniel Jackson's wife.
Oh, really?
Yeah, okay. And it's shoehorned in there. Like it's the sort of thing that you didn't need to really put it in there.
It was gratuitous by nature.
Yeah, pretty much.
She sort of walking around the apartment, Shame style, but just a female Fassbender hanging female dong.
No,
you've seen Shame?
I know of the shot in Shame.
Yeah,
the full dong.
Full dong. Straight out of HBO. That one.
Yeah. That MFDPE.
MFDP,
Michael Fassbender dong per episode. Or film, I guess.
Yeah, per film.
DPM. MFDPM.
Dong
per... Anyway.
We're getting bogged down in the logistics.
Yeah, we're getting stuck on dongs again. This is the weekly occurrence. Or, fortnightly occurrence. I don't know if we do this.
Aaron's not here to course correct.
Yeah, I know.
He can't keep us on the rails.
He's normally the morality compass. Keeps us away from dongs.
So this is the episode. I feel like I'm going to look at my watch and it's going to be like 2 hours later.
I'm just talking about...
giving us the cut time as soon as we start mentioning dongs too much. Yeah. Anyway.
All right. Well, let's get away from dongs and Stargate and let's talk about episode 1.
Of Westworld. Okay.
Oh, no, sorry. No. We're not doing Westworld. We're doing Wishbone. Oh, no, Deadwood. Let's talk about episode 1 of Deadwood.
Dongwood?
episode 1 of Dongwood. Jez, what do you got for us?
Episode 1 opens with Montana Sheriff, Seth, making one last arrest. Before he's executed, the Crim tells Seth about Deadwood, a lawless frontier town where they can make an easy buck.
No law at all in Deadwood. Is that true?
Seth takes the advice on board, but kills the Crim anyway. He then sets off to Deadwood to start a hardware store with his sidekick, Sol, that specializes in knee-length shoes.
Give me some of those large hip boots till I get over there, and I'll pay you $2 extra.
Wild Bill, a notorious gunslinger, has also arrived in town to make a buck. Elsewhere, local publican Al is running a successful watering hole for miscreants, where he has to facilitate deals, assassinate drunks, and wrangle whores. A vagrant rolls into town, telling of an ambush where a family was slaughtered by natives. Wild Bill and Seth enter into a dick measuring contest by heading off to survey the damage, while Al has to convince his patrons that drinking and fornicating is a better idea than chasing bounties.
God rest the souls of that poor family. and pussy's half price next 15 minutes.
I really enjoyed the first episode. And I don't say that very often on this podcast.
And me too.
Yeah, no, it is. It's HBO. So you're going to get quality. And it's pretty well rated, this show. I do have one little thing I want to put in there. And this comes from a fan of Firefly. And I watched Westworld as well and really enjoyed it.
As in, you're a fan of Firefly?
Yeah,
that's what you're saying?
I am.
I thought there was a fan of Firefly who said something to you about something.
Okay. But mate, I don't know. It's just me. But
how often do you use that as like an opening line? As a fan of Firefly, I think it makes you special.
Probably at least two or three times a day at work.
Just, you know. Yeah, at the bank.
Yeah, I try and weigh in and say, look, as a fan of Firefly.
It's the pop culture equivalent of don't you know who I am?
Exactly. Yeah. If someone was to run for political office and use that line, I'd be 100% on board.
Anyway, as a fan of Firefly.
As a fan of Firefly. And Westworld. Anyway, I've noticed that like no matter what TV show is made, I don't know if you guys have watched many Westerns on TV, the sets always look like shit. You can't make a good Western set. They always look, I mean, they are manufactured.
Wait, the Western sets in Firefly?
Yeah, well, it's like a Western-themed space show.
Yeah, but how does that work? I haven't seen Firefly.
You haven't seen it. Well,
how can that be clearly Western and space?
Because that's what it is. That's exactly what it is.
Like cowboys and aliens.
No, it's not like that at all.
It sounds like cowboys and aliens.
That's not what I'm talking about, though. What I'm talking about is the movie sets, like the old Western movies. Yeah. They always look shit.
You know what I think it is? I think it's because they probably produced just hundreds of them in like the 50s and 60s. And they're like, oh, well, we've got all these Western sets.
Yeah.
No need to update them. We'll just keep rolling them out.
And it's just, they just put them side by side, wooden buildings with like a wooden veranda. And they're a little bit dusty.
But maybe that's what I'm pretty sure it was just that shit.
Yeah.
This one at least had some tents.
Yeah, that's true. So maybe it's got a little more. It's a little more authentic.
Some variation. Yeah. It was a bit more of like a shanty-looking town, I guess, as opposed to your regular. Like, here's your saloon. Here's your sheriff's office. Here's your
jail. Here's your general store.
Yeah,
that's pretty much it.
Yeah,
that's all they had.
And then just repeat.
Yeah. And like, oh, they always had like an undertaker, like on the main strip as well.
It's like you, where we grew up more. Oh, where we all grew up actually. Yeah.
Just a general store.
It would alternate between hairdressers and real estate agents.
Or a cafe.
You know, cafes. Yeah, cafes. It's much the same in the West. It's just like sheriff's offices.
Eliza Wood.
Yeah. It's just... Don't reveal where we... It's a mystery.
Exactly. Well, it still is. But you have to admit, there's something about those sets that just always look a little bit...
crap.
Yeah, they just look really dodgy.
Yeah, but I think the West was crap, like I said.
Yeah, well, I suppose you're right.
Yeah. So, is it convincing, though? That's the question.
I mean, eventually...
Does it just look like a set to you?
It just looks like a set to me.
I thought the costumes were convincing. But yeah, I think they're probably easy to put up, so they don't have to put a lot of money into it. If you're making a sci-fi show, they've really got to go out of their way to, like, jazz the set up, whereas it's just, like, shitty old wood.
I would like to see a Western town where they've got like the little town set up and they've got like the roads of war is like just dust bombs. I'd like to see one with just like a little bit of a lawn around the side of it. Dust bomb in the middle, a little bit of a lawn in the front.
Cactus lawn?
They're in the desert, Morgan.
Not completely in the desert. There's still grass.
AstroTurf?
I'm not saying AstroTurf. I'm just saying they have to lay it down. But just like a little bit of growth.
I thought you can say like a cobbled street or something. I'd say that would be enough for me. The Romans had cobbled streets.
I would take the cobbled street. You're right. Even though if the Romans can do it, I'm sure the cowboys can.
Yeah. Put some effort in, Western towns.
They all seem to be just interested in killing, though.
Yeah, no wonder you're full of outlaws. Nobody wants to be there.
No.
It's all dusty.
And
ugh.
Exactly.
Moving into something about the episode, though, I think my favorite line of the episode is after, so one of the characters, the prostitute Trixie, shoots that guy, was beaten on her.
Yeah.
She got me right in the head.
Yeah, is it bad, talking?
I'd say it's pretty bad.
Yeah, yeah. The guy's...
He's
like sitting there against the wall, slumped against the wall, still alive, with a bullet sticking out of his head.
Yeah. Is it bad? I don't think you're going to make it. I really don't think you make it.
He gets fed to the pigs. It's brutal.
Yeah. He's pretty full on.
They didn't even bury
the poor man. Yeah. Just straight to the pigs.
Mm. I've seen like 8 or 9 things now where men are fed to pigs.
Yeah.
It's really starting to get to me.
They eat everything, apparently.
Yeah, I know.
Not that I know, but if you want to dispose of a body.
So you haven't disposed of any bodies in your uncle's pig farm?
Nah, well, how do you know my uncle's pig
farm? We disposed a body of there once.
What?
Can we edit that out?
No. I'm going to edit it into every other episode.
Confessions with Scott Burgess.
Just to implicate you more.
Oh, good.
That doctor also just... I don't know if it's the thing about like the, is it 1700s, 1800s?
1800s. Like I remember 1870s.
Everybody's just so irresponsible. That doctor, in order to like get him not to talk and to tell what was happening, Al was just like, you got a day of drinking on me.
Yeah.
You do not want your doctor to be absolutely plastered at any point.
I don't think he's saving anyone.
And he's like the only one.
By doctor, you mean the guy that drags the dead bodies over to the pig pen and chucks them in.
Well, yeah, I mean, you know.
That's his role as a doctor. But
doctor slash undertaker.
What do you mean just him? Everyone's smashed. They're just drinking whiskey all the day. You're not doing anything else.
Yeah, but no. Not like, I mean like just him. Like you don't want him to be smashed. Because if everybody else is smashed, just like shooting each other, you've got to have somebody to patch everyone up. Mm. And if you've got this absolutely paralytic doctor,
I think he needs to have a few whiskeys to get his confidence
up. But again, he's not
12.
He's not saving any lives. All he's doing is dragging dead bodies to the pig pen. Well, I think he does like a bit of an autopsy.
Then why
first.
Do they call him a doctor?
Because that's
calling him Doc.
Things are different back then.
They didn't actually specify he's a doctor. They just said, I'll get the Doc. That could just be his nickname.
Yeah, you know, he's got
I knew a guy called Doc. His actual first name was Doc, D-O-C.
No way.
Yeah, I did.
What's his last name?
I don't believe you.
Martin?
Wilson? He's real.
He could have a PhD in like theoretical physics or something.
Yeah.
he's not actually.
Doc!
Not actually a medical doctor.
No.
While I'm not a licensed physician, I will shove this rod through the side of your head.
Yeah, he was a bit of a like a.
Yeah, what was that meant to do?
I think he's like a.
Kill him faster?
I don't know.
No, because he just. No, he did it because the guy had already died. He was just doing it to get the bullet out. Because he was like measuring where his brain was. Yeah. He's like a bit of a Qwibern, you know, Qwibern from Game of Thrones.
That's the vibe I got.
Just that
well.
Guy's
like
got a
tinkering with.
Yeah, just got a hard on for medicine.
Yeah, but not really medicine, like trying to make zombies and stuff.
Yeah,
so
mostly that sort of stuff.
You could make an offshoot,
again,
make zombies.
This is the medical profession in the 1870s. I think it was mostly
guesswork.
Just trying to learn things from dead people.
Yeah,
true.
The person I designated doctor, what do you think? In your medical opinion.
Yeah, I'm the designated doctor.
Yeah,
you were there sober, you could have saved him.
Designated driver?
Because I said, oh, look, I'm the town mayor. He's the town lawyer.
Oh, yeah, you're right. I forgot that I'm the doctor. Yeah,
if you were there sober, you could have saved him.
Because I'm a little fruity.
What's your medical opinion? Your medical opinion.
I don't know.
Your medical opinion. How do you cure that man of that bullet to the head?
Well, you just put him out of his misery.
Feed him to the pigs?
Yeah, you feed him to the pigs. Obviously.
And hopefully the pigs just eat the bullet and nothing else.
Exactly. Yeah, it's
like I never said that he was a bad doctor. I just said...
Maybe you should be sober.
But like you don't want him to be drunk all the
time. It's like the 1700s where like in England where it's like everything is like, oh, we'll just put leeches on there and that'll do it. Like,
yeah.
Suck out the poison.
So why was... Was it Al Swearington or what was his name?
Swearington. Swearington.
In McShane's character.
Yeah, McShane's character. Why was he so annoyed at her for
killing one of them?
Like, she was like the number one. She was his number one girl.
I think
right?
It was not the first time that it's happened, baby.
Yeah, but
probably not a great look if you one of your prostitutes is killing patrons.
Well, he shouldn't beat on her.
No, I'm not saying she's in the wrong. She's definitely in the right. She had every right to shoot him in the head, but like
this is an 1870s Western town.
He did say at one point, you know, the whores are half price.
Mm. No, you said that they're free.
Yeah, you just like, he
free for the. It's like the next hour they're free.
No, it's like the next 15 minutes.
Yeah, hand jobs 15 cents. Like I don't think it's not like it's not like they have like a fair work out there trying to like help. You know, it's not like they've got a union. Like he does whatever he wants.
It needs some sort of government inquiry.
Yeah, yeah, they should unionize. There's enough of them.
I think my favorite bit of it's slang or like favorite term. From this was definitely the guy who's drinking in the bar, like right at the start when you get introduced to Al. And he said that I've fucked my life up flatter than a hammered shit. It was just some no-name dude who just came in at the bar and was drinking in the middle of the day.
That's Bobby Singer out of...
So he's not just anyone.
Bobby Singer out of Supernatural. So you guys, did you guys watch Supernatural?
Bits and pieces.
It's like Bobby was like the
He's like the friend, the family.
Yeah, he's like the family friend, right. And they go to him for advice and stuff like that.
Gotcha. Well,
there's no junkie.
I'll tell you what, his life is fucked up flatter than a hammered shit.
That's pretty great.
It's pretty bad.
Good turn of phrase. Did anyone understand what that Irish guy was saying at all, ever?
What
a fucking lying cunt you are! Oh, 12,500. It's every cent I can get hold of, Mr. Driscoll. Yeah, and more than the claim is worth, he said.
What were they like in a bidding war over? I was taking
his gold plot, like his gold
so
claim.
He so he owned a gold plot.
Well, he didn't
he had a claim.
What even is a gold claim?
It's just like it's a patch, patch of land.
It's
where
a
you
place
can
to
mine gold.
Claim gold.
Okay, that makes sense.
A gold claim.
I like it how the owl, like afterwards, the Irish dude was up there arguing, and he's like, "Oh, so you owe me 30% of the 14,000?" And he's like, "No, but you know, the Irish guy got up to 20,000." So he's like, "What's 30% of 20,000?" And then Al wouldn't give him the
it's like
that
4,200.
He's like, "Then give me the 4,200 of that." And he's like, "No." He's like, "Oh, well, at least give me $500 credit on the bar."
Yeah. Geez, and then he was like, "No." And then he gave him like $60.
Yeah. So he got him down from $6,000 to like a like hand job and like $50 over the bar.
Wait, like, is all the Irish guy got?
That's all. Yeah,
wasn't it his plot?
Yeah,
yeah, but he was in debt.
He got screwed out of it. Yeah,
he's in debt.
But still, he was owed like $6,000,
yeah,
and he got so little.
And then ended up getting murdered anyway.
Why did they kill him? I just don't understand.
Because they didn't want like I don't think it's just sort of tying up a loose end. They didn't want that rich guy finding out that it was all contrived.
A scam, yeah.
Mm. I think we're all dancing around the issue here, and that is.
Wild Bill's moustache and hair.
Well, I was going
to
say...
Wild Bill's hair. I've been waiting
Seth,
to talk about
that. Seth Bullock, who's Timothy Oliphant, his moustache is fierce.
Yeah.
It like fierce. Comes out... It's like the edge of a like the edge of a cliff.
Oh, man. You could set your watch to that sort of thing.
You could.
But I want to talk about...
You could
I think
climb
more,
it.
More importantly is definitely Keith Carradine's hair, which is Wild Bill's hair.
Yeah. Beautiful sort of pan.
Bill
looks like one of the Three
Wild
Musketeers
Bill,
almost.
Oh, Bill.
Nice wave.
He's like a sling. He's like a
gunslinger.
Gunslinger, that's it.
Yeah, I like it because you know when he's posse, like he's got someone to feather his hair.
But he was also he was like a lawman as well, right?
Yeah, no, I did say that. I did say notorious. he was a marshal at one of the lawless towns. But now and then he's also murdered a shitload of people.
Yeah, he's a multidisciplinary.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
You gotta have a wide array of skills.
Have you seen you don't get the acting profile of Keith Carradine without cracking a few eggs to make an omelet.
I don't think I'm seeing him in anything else.
He looks like the Count of Monte Cristo. That's what I want to say.
He did, yeah. Yeah.
And that's what I thought as soon as he walked in. Really? Like Pirates of Penzance or something.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, it's very real. Sort of, that hair, it's very like mid-century French look, doesn't it?
Yeah. So Scott, that'll probably do us for the first episode of Dongwood. Scott, can you give us a rundown on what happened in the last episode of Dead Dong?
It'd be my pleasure. The final episode of Deadwood hits the ground running. Most of our main characters are still around. Bullock, his partner Sol, now shacked up with the prostitute Trixie, Al the bartender, and a host of others. The main conflict of the episode revolves around Trixie getting up to her old tricks and shooting a businessman by the name of George Hurst.
Given what's in store, I'm not sure I'll ever learn what price I'd have paid for not complying.
Hurst, currently bailed up in a hotel room, is out for vengeance and asks for her dead.
For her try on my life, I ought to see that the whore has paid with her own.
Bartender Al has a plan, though, to kill another one of his ladies of the night who looks like Trixie and fool Hurst before he leaves town.
Has she family? I'll be notified.
I don't notify fucking family.
I guess especially not hers.
I'd take that fucking scrub brush.
Ah.
Yeah.
Is that what happened?
Yeah. Yeah.
I know we raised this a lot earlier. This was particularly difficult of all the shows we've watched to follow what was going on
Holy
last
moly.
Episode.
Yeah.
You can tell that it wasn't meant to be the last episode.
No,
there was
no, it definitely
so
wasn't.
Many intertwining storylines. I had no idea that was the what was actually insane.
So many.
I was
and
like, why did he kill that? He like beckoned for.
Yeah, and there's so many things that happen. Like there's an election that's going on with two people that I have no idea who they are. It doesn't really have any bearing on the story whatsoever.
Some guy's watching it from his balcony.
Yeah, and what? And he
and then
murders
he gets,
one of his own henchmen.
I think maybe he's running. And he gets angry.
No, he's not. He's just he like.
And he stabs his friend, who's some like opium addict.
Yeah, kills him, and then he goes to kill his top prostitute,
and then she just pulls her top down.
Yeah, she just gets her boobs out. Yeah, yeah, he goes and then it's an interesting move. But,
yeah, I
don't know what to make of it. I was like,
sort of impressed.
Yeah, like, I mean, hey, look, she just like she just like went, she just went for it.
Yeah,
you know? Props. But then, meanwhile, like her,
she also like she. he stabs the guy in like his artery in the leg.
Yeah.
And she ties like a shoelace around his leg.
Ah, you know, gotta stop the bleeding somehow.
Blood's still going everywhere.
Yeah. But that whole election that's going on in the background when the guy comes in, does he say, when he talks about the election, like the one guy that we don't know, 960 votes and Seth has 68? That is a fucking landslide. Did anyone actually, like, it's like, oh, we have a 68 vote error margin as well? Like, whoa.
I think like all the votes automatically go to the other guy unless they put in a vote for Seth. So it was like 68 people actually voted. It's rigged.
That's probably close to what actually happened.
Mm. Or maybe it was like standing mayor. I don't know. Was it for mayor? I don't know. They just kept saying election.
Yeah, it was weird. I have noticed like from that episode, from the first episode to this episode, it doesn't matter. Like you cannot have a decent conversation with anyone in that town. It turns into like just swearing at each other, yelling. You either get shot. It's just
stabbed in the groin.
Oh, I wouldn't leave.
They're all so highly strung.
Yeah,
because they're all just cripplingly hungover every day, throwing headaches. And well, it's a real short fuse.
It's like when Al goes to kill that other prostitute to fake Trixie's death. He has like two bottles of whiskey, and it's like kind of indicates like an hour has transpired. Yeah, well, he must be.
When he beckons for her to come into the room, I thought he was. Maybe that was his. I mean, he's the brothel owner.
Yeah.
I thought he was going to have sexy times. But right. I think she thought that that's what she was going in there.
Yeah,
well.
Probably. Mm. Also, doesn't he know the rules? Don't get high on your own supply. This is true. Right?
But you can murder your own supply.
I was talking about the whiskey.
Oh, wow. That makes way more sense.
Morgan the women. Sees women as a commodity.
Obviously. I've now watched enough Deadwood two episodes to that's how I perceive women.
You've just interpreted it all as like a guide for living?
Yeah, pretty much. Isn't it?
Yeah, Deadwood's guide for life.
Perfect. The incomplete guide to living.
Usually when writing the episode summaries for these episodes, I have a cheeky look at like the show's Wikia page for a recap.
Frame of reference.
Could not find one for this show. Which seems surprising because I thought it was quite popular.
Literally a wikia for everything.
The only recap that I found of the episode was 15 pages long.
Okay. Wow. Where?
It was some.
Was it the script? No.
Would have been quicker. Would have been quicker to read it. It was just some like weird obscure TV website where people can just write recaps of episodes and stuff.
Were they trying to maybe tie up everything? Maybe. They must have delved into past matters.
Yeah,
it really isn't that much that happens for each sort of
on a tangent
storyline.
No, because again, it's that slow boil.
Yeah,
it's like you again get very. I mean, they're meant to be played out over a lot of episodes, and they were both 50 plus minutes long. So
yeah,
so it's HBO. They always love that shit. But yeah, it clearly was meant to be going on to a fourth season and then cancelled. I do want to talk about how that guy, the man who stabbed his sidekick on the balcony, Powers Booth.
Yeah.
The most manly name.
Such a strong name.
Oh, that is so good to say.
He was destined to be great.
I don't really have much to say to him, but that name is it feels good to say.
Is this like how when you have a standing invitation to fight somebody on the podcast? This is like a standing invitation to dinner with Powers Booth.
Yeah. Anytime Powers Booth wants to come down and join me for dinner, nice steak dinner, or just to join us on the podcast, always welcome.
Always welcome.
Or both.
The door is always open.
Pitbull, John Delancey, not welcome. Standing invitation to fight them, stance.
Was he born Powers Booth?
No, it sounds like that sounds like a stage name, like Rip Torn. They're not real names.
No, he got his powers in an accident. That's the worst joke I can think of. I'm sorry.
He was just Jim Booth.
Jim Booth. I mean, probably wasn't even Booth. He was probably Max Powers.
Well, Booth isn't that great, Nick. Alone, Booth, I think combined with powers,
it works. Yeah,
it powers to anything, and your name instantly becomes better.
Powers Wiseman.
Yeah, that's
actually
a great
that sounds
name.
Pretty good. Mm. Powers Burgess.
Oh yeah.
Powers Cole. All right. Well, we're going to change all of our first names to Powers. We're off.
I feel
Gary.
Like that's for the best.
We're off the Church of Gary Young now. We're on Powers Booth.
All right. Welcome to the Powers Podcast.
Would you go so far to say he's a friend of the show?
I think we can put him in the Gary Young camp.
Yeah, yeah.
Are you guys happy for me to add Powers Booth to the Gary?
Chuck him in.
Do you think they'd get along, the two of them?
Oh, well, they're both thespians, so yeah, I think they would.
Mm. Both strong individuals.
Yeah, they might clash a little bit with their, you know.
Who's the alpha?
Oh, it's really hard to go past Gary Young. He's a samurai.
I got a question for you, Jez.
Yes.
Have you ever passed out, standing up, leaning against a wall with your dick out in public. Because that was one of the more interesting scenes in the episode of this show.
Only a few times.
How do you do that?
Only it's like five in the morning. As many times as is considered reasonable.
Like, you're like, what? You're like five in the morning and then you're like leaning there.
Can you
for
can
3 hours?
Can you for the listeners and say me, who doesn't know, like, what's a reasonable amount of times?
One a week. Yeah, 1 a week.
I feel like I know you pretty well. We spend a lot of time with it. I don't recall it happening.
I do it in my own time.
Fair enough.
Well, at least you consider it.
I can't refute that.
Yeah, I did the privacy of my own home.
No, well, fair enough. George must, I mean, your girlfriend must hate it.
What do you think I black the windows out for?
I have always wondered why it's always a one-way glass.
Mm. Mm. Yeah, that was pretty good. Who was he? He was just like...
I got no idea.
I got no idea either. He's some guy.
There were so many like B and C characters in this show.
Yeah, and a lot of like
many of them.
That guy that came and confronted him with the beard and the long hair. It's the character's name is, and you guys are going to laugh at me. It's Titus Welliver, and he's like he's in shitloads of stuff. Always plays like a he's in a story arc of like The Good Wife, and he's got his own show now, Bosch, like a detective show
based on the popular
the white goods.
Yeah, cool.
Yeah, Bosch. It's
retired basketballer Chris Bosch teams up with a Bosch dishwasher and they solve crimes. And he voices the dishwasher.
I would watch the shit out of that show.
That'd be pretty good.
That would be awesome.
Mm.
I could reboot Deadwood, Dead Bosch, and watch that. Yeah. Chris Bosch and a dishwasher just going around selling hardware in Deadwood.
You could go down the Wishbone route and just like name all of the episodes some sort of like white goods appliance pun name. Yeah.
Like LG Hammer.
Yeah. Oh, I was thinking more like
the LG
something to do with spin cycle.
Oh yeah.
Mm. Yeah.
Like, that's all you got.
I thought we were doing brands.
Oh
no.
Okay.
Just like different functions of white goods. Yes.
Unless we've got a direct brand endorsement.
Something about like pulse mode on your food processor. Yeah, and something like about
fan forced and
yeah.
The scope here is just massive.
Well, clearly limited.
Will Chris Bosch feature in all of these?
Yeah,
or?
Of course.
It's a Chris Bosch franchise?
It's a Chris Bosch.
Chris Bosch?
He
we can't afford Chris Bosch. We'll just get like he's like the equivalent Chris Bosch. Crisp Bosch?
Crisp Bosch.
Does anyone care to speculate as to what happened to Wild Bill between one and episode 1 and 36?
He obviously gets gunslinged.
Gunsling Dan. Do you reckon he turns into the antagonist?
A High Noon type. I reckon Seth kills him.
See, I thought that as
they
well.
They were like, they were buddies though. Yeah. At the end of that first episode. They were like
bonding.
When you're killing a man together.
Yeah. And he's,
I think you have a bond.
And,
you know?
And Wild Bill's like handy henchmen become like Seth pals.
True. Mm. So if he had killed him,
they'd probably be out for revenge.
I thought you'd say like inherit them.
Yeah, I think that's what you do when you kill, you gun someone down, you get the henchmen.
The 1870s were different.
They were different times. Yeah, different times.
Yeah. I mean, who are we to speculate?
So Wild Bill went a little bit too wild.
Mm.
The thing that's sort of different about this show is that it's, I want to say, semi-biographical. Biographical?
Mm.
Am I using the wrong term?
Yeah.
A
lot of the characters are real.
Real, yeah.
Like, Bill Hickok, I think that's his name, was a real guy. Calamity Jane, she's real.
Yep. Mm.
I think a lot of these characters are real. Obviously,
Seth was real.
They've taken some liberties.
Bit of a creative license.
Mm, indeed.
Because they didn't have cameras back then, so they had to.
Oh, so this isn't
add those in.
This isn't a documentary.
No, it is.
Okay, because I assumed like Ian McShane's what 240 now.
Yeah.
This is just like a really long, drawn out episode of Crime Stoppers.
Ah, there we go. That's what it is.
At the end, it's like, have you seen this man? It's a picture of Al.
The whole three seasons are just played in one ad break in an episode of Funny Stone Video.
My favorite casting choice, I think, for the whole show, and I thought all the casting was great, has got to be Brad Dourif as a creepy doctor.
Yeah.
Brad Dourif, he's just born.
What
creepy
else is he in?
He's Grima Wormtongue out of Lord of the Rings.
That's why he's so creepy.
Yeah, and he just always plays this really creepy character. He just nails it every time.
It's probably not acting. It's like funny. He's just creepy.
Yeah, that's yeah. Just it's, up. It's just his personality.
He's supposed to play these like they just want a really straight character, but he just delivers it really weirdly.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
That's why you. I mean,
do you think so? He doesn't know that he's creepy.
No, he
watches the show back and he's like, "Yo, I'm the obviously the hero in this.
Yeah, yeah. I'm the protagonist. Look at me trying to make medical advancements.
I'm the moral compass of the show."
Well, as we know from episode one, to treat the head wound, he just tells the guy to be quiet.
And then feeds him to the pigs.
Exactly. Mm.
And it works. He's not worried about his head anymore.
No, that's true.
No,
he's dead. About that. How many people do you think...
fed to the pigs?
Duriff ended up feeding to the pigs. Like the Duriff treatment.
At least one episode. Yeah.
Was it Mr. Wu? Was he the...
Mm. Yeah, Chinese guy.
Was he still there at the end?
I think he was.
So he still would have had the pigs.
Yeah.
Mm.
I mean, probably not those pigs. I'm sure they would have eaten them, but...
Yeah.
But then, spoilers.
So wait, you're...
I was thinking that. That's all I was thinking when that was happening is like, so you're eating...
You're eating the pig that's eating the person. And then you
hear stories about how human flesh is very similar to pork. Apparently when...
I've heard stories. Oh, okay.
I haven't.
I don't know. Now
what kind of circles are you running in?
Yeah, you have. I always hear the same shit. It's like, oh, it tastes like chicken. It's like, that's like, everything tastes like chicken.
No, I've often heard that it's very similar to pork. Which is why they use Mythbusters often, once a week? In Mythbusters, whenever they...
It's got nothing... No, don't say that's why they... Because human flesh tastes like pork, that's why they use pigs.
No, that's fucking stupid.
Don't be an idiot.
No, I think... But I've heard that, like...
It's the anatomy. Like, the anatomy layout people is very similar.
Burning, it smells like cooking pork.
Oh. I've never heard that.
Who's telling you this?
Yeah.
The human anatomy studies.
You've got your own worm tongue telling you things.
They use pigs. It's like the human anatomy layout is similar to the way that.
So then, obviously, you'd taste the same.
Oh, I hate you so much. Do you listen to yourself when you talk?
I tripped in and out. Should we get on to the reboots? I think we've speculated enough.
I think we speculated enough. I think we reboot.
Spoiler alert, a lot of people die.
So if you guys don't mind, I might kick us off this time around.
Take the lead,
please. Beautiful.
Love to. So mine can be redone. So this is being rebooted this year, actually. I'm rebooting Deadwood, this version.
For reals?
Yeah. So it's to do with... I obviously have no idea what happened to Wild Bill, but I assume his death was off camera.
Mm-hmm.
So we don't know...
What
happened to him.
He might be dead.
He might be dead. But what actually... he may even be dead. What actually happened to Wild Bill? While he was killed off camera, I have no idea within the show, but let's just say he was, for argument's sake. So Wild Bill is actually... He actually steps through some sort of time vortex...
Mm-hmm.
And he gets thrown to a parallel dimension, comes out the other end, and he's in Deadwood still, but it's now the mid-80s.
Oh.
And he ends up back in Deadwood, and while he's in town, all these kids keep getting killed on Elm Street. Mysterious deaths on Elm Street. So Wild Bill, being the former lawman, trying to work out, you know, he ends up getting drawn to this place. And then eventually, in his dreams, he's confronted by a disfigured man, better known as Freddy Krueger.
Okay.
Ends up killing Freddy Krueger in his dreams because he's Wild Bill. And he's got the hair, it's feathered, it looks good.
Krueger never stood a chance.
Like Wild Bill, you seen Carradine? Guy looks $1 million.
Kapow.
So he takes down Freddy Krueger. But then he comes out of the dream sequence. He's still alive. But then he's visited by Scott Bakula, who quantum leaps into this reality. And then he links up with Bakula and says, "Look, I've been stuck quantum leaping," and this is now Bakula as he looks. So he's been leaping for years, but leaping as himself. He goes, "Look, the next step of my mission is to start killing all evil. I'm hunting evil, so I need some help. I need you to come with me to leap through time and space to hunt and basically kill demons and what have you." So anyway, they then quantum leap into an episode of X-Files.
Jesus Christ,
it's called Thief. It's about like this weird dude who eats people's livers. It's really creepy. Anyway, so then it's a series from there where Scott Bakula and Keith Carradine, so Sam Beckett and Wild Bill Hickok, are traveling through time and space, killing off like evil people from movies.
So they jump into episodes of TV shows and movies and kill the villains.
Yeah. They come after him.
It's very like Last Action Hero vibe.
Yeah, a little bit actually. I hadn't thought about that.
I was going to say a little bit. Bacula to the Future vibe.
A little bit Bacula to the Future vibe. This one's called, so they're hunting evil. It's called Good Bill Hunting. and it's Carradine will reprise a role as Bill Hickok.
Yep.
The hair.
Irreplaceable.
And Bacula, you can't. We're going to recast as Bacula. It's got to be Bacula. So Bacula is Sam Beckett. So it's while Bill Hickok and Sam Beckett traveling through time and space, killing off Freddy Krueger, Jason Voorhees and the like, just gunslinging their way through time and space.
Wow.
Good Bill Hunting.
You've really gone for a run with this.
Yeah. Well, I was listening to a podcast today where I got inspired by it. So I'm like, they don't make movies where it's just like, let's come up with a fucking batshit crazy idea and just shoehorn it because we reckon we get two people that can make it work. I reckon Bacula and Carradine could make that work.
Mm-hmm.
Of course they could. They've actually played those characters before.
Yeah, all I got to do is shoehorn. And those other characters I'm choosing, they already exist. Yeah,
everyone knows what they're doing. Let's just run it back.
It's like Stranger Things where, like, you know, they just get a whole lot of 80s stereotypes and just make it really cool.
Just cashing in on the nostalgia value.
Pretty much. And, like, rather than putting any extra effort into it, I'm just like, oh, it'll just look cool. Like, if we just kind of just chuck it in, we'll
You're gonna direct the show?
I will, yes.
Guys, it needs to look cool.
Yeah. Carradine and Bacula can make that work. That's fine. My work there is done. I've put the basic framework out. If they can't work off that, then they're not professionals, are they?
Yeah, you're not fit to work in this town.
No.
Good Bill Hunting. There it is.
Good Bill Hunting.
Scott? I like it. Great name. Strong name. So Deadwood for me was far too serious. The tone was too serious. There was way too many storylines. Just too heavy. I think they just need to strip it back, simplify it a bit. So essentially I'm going to keep like the crux of the like story the same, just keep the main sort of bits in. And so we've got our characters Bullock and Sol. Keep it the same at the start. They chase out of one town, go to another town. But basically instead of like treating everything super seriously, it's just going to be like wacky hijinks galore. So playing Seth Bullock is Julian Barrett. Sol is going to be played by Noel Fielding.
Julian Barrett was Howard Moon out of... Yeah.
Sol is played by Noel Fielding.
Perfect.
Al the bartender is going to be played by Matt Berry.
Oh, perfect.
And we're coming back for Mighty Boosh Season 4.
Who's Rich Fulcher going
to
play?
I don't know. That's what I was trying to think.
I think Rich Fulcher can play... He'd be... So you've got Matt Berry is playing Al. Remember the other... The tavern?
No, what about Al's assistant who looked like Matt Berry? The whole time I was thinking...
Yeah, right, he looks like Matt Berry. Yeah, get Rich Fulcher to play him. Rich Fulcher can play anyone and make him just batshit crazy.
Yeah, and we might get in... I think it's Mike Fielding, who's Noel Fielding's brother, who plays Naboo.
Yeah, and you can get Richard Ayoade. Is that his name?
Yeah, Richard Ayoade, yeah.
Oh, Ayoade.
Because it's sort of like... I think season 2 of the Mighty Boosh, they go and like they own a store, like, and they just get chased from town to town. Like that's
I like that
the thing of the Mighty Boosh. So it makes sense, like fits into this world.
Yeah, so they go back to the old west. Yeah. I would like to see the Mighty Boosh in the old west and just and make it just that really like, weird style. Like that'd be really cool.
I'd like to see the Mighty Boosh.
You never seen it?
I've seen episodes.
Bits and pieces. The Hitch is the best episode. But that would be awesome.
I just want to see Howard Moon just like delivering his diatribe, just like his really long-winded.
A monsoon moon.
Yeah.
Digging
himself up.
And just Noel Fielding as well. Just like, he's the perfect person to be a star. Not star, be soul star. It works. All I can picture is that episode of The Mighty Boosh where he says to Naboo, Naboo says to him, he's like, I told you not to mess with the occult. He says, I thought the occult was good for you. You know, for your digestion. No, it's Yakult. Oh, yeah. That's all I can think of. I love it. What's it called again?
We'll have lots of zingers. I'm not sure.
It's called Mighty Boosh Season 4.
Thinking about just calling it, the Mighty Boosh. Maybe like...
We'll call it Booshwood?
Woods of the Dead or something. I don't know.
You don't like Booshwood? You don't like Booshwood? Mighty Booshwood?
Dead Boosh.
Dead Boosh. Dead Boosh.
Mighty Boosh. Dong?
The Mighty
Dongwood?
Yeah, why didn't I think of it?
Well, I feel like we kind of came up with our own reboot of the show, Dongwood. Just... I guess it's...
Collective reboot.
Yeah, it's just all the cowboys are bottomless.
And it's the same show.
Same show, just everyone's...
It's like arseless chaps, except arseless it's just chaps, crotchless.
Yeah.
I'm sure it was a...
Crotchless.
It was a fad for a period of time.
Yeah. Well, it makes it easier when you're like leaning up against a wall after you smashed on a night of drinking. You don't have to take your dick out because it's already out.
It's already out the whole time.
And when hand jobs are free for 15 minutes, you're ready to go.
Perfect. Jess.
Okay, I've half pivoted while I've been listening to yours. But it's very, very similar. to what I originally had.
Is it Dongwood?
So it's
Dongwood, isn't it?
No. This is similar. So, frontier town.
Okay.
Late 1800s. I was going to jazz it up and go a different time period, but why mess with the winning formula?
No, exactly.
But it's instead of being in this like the West, it's sort of like Northeast America, Canadian border. I'm in a small pocket there that's also, for whatever reason, lawless.
Yeah.
But instead of looking for gold, they're looking for maple syrup.
Nice.
Obviously.
Yeah. Oh, what else did they do up there?
No. That's
me.
Liquid gold. It's called Redwood.
Yeah.
It's about trees rather than, but it is like a Cheers type comedy sitcom based around Al's character.
So all the people that come into the bar are like...
Yeah, and he's just behind the bar polishing glasses and stuff.
Candle after?
Yeah, heaps.
Oh, beautiful. Now...
Okay. Almost exclusively.
Now you got me. I was on the fence.
It only lulls slightly.
Yeah. I was on the fence. I'm in. I'm all in.
The characters have to yell over it.
I'm all in.
Okay.
I'm all in.
So we've got Nick Offerman playing... Al, Ian McShane's character.
Yeah, that's a ripping.
I've got Matt Berry playing his assistant, who looked a lot like Matt Berry. And then from there, I don't really know, except for that Johnny guy who was hardly in it.
Johnny?
He's the one who Ian McShane kills. He's in love with the girl that gets killed. Yeah. He's sort of got like a
short curly head. The guy who's talking about the ant whores in the wall.
Yeah, simple guy.
Yeah.
Soldier ants and worker ants and whore ants to fuck the soldiers and the workers. Right inside that wall, baby ants.
John T. Reilly.
Yeah.
And because they were the three main... I probably need to recast Trixie. But... Redwood.
Yeah.
Redwood.
Yeah. So people
all got thick Canadian accents.
If I had to cast someone as Trixie, have you guys ever watched Garfunkel and Oates?
Yeah.
Ricky Lindholm, one out of that. I reckon she'd be a good...
Chuck her in there.
Yeah.
Can she yell over canned laughter?
Can she ever? She's in a folk band. They yell all the time.
It's the only requirement.
Yeah.
Perfect.
So people selling their tree claims? Is that what's...
That's maple claims.
How do you get maple syrup? I don't...
What do you mean?
Do you just like put a tap on a tree and...
That's like the way cartoons would have me believe it.
It's obviously that.
But I really want to know, because if you had a tree claim and then you like, if you needed to chop the tree down, you have to wait ages.
Is this like the sap? Do you have to chop it down?
I really don't think it's the sap. That doesn't sound right.
Is maple syrup come? Does it come from trees?
Yeah.
Does it?
I think.
I don't know.
This
wasn't fleshed out at all.
This is where we need like a live format so that we can take callers. Inform us about how maple syrup is made.
Please call in. Please call in.
How maple syrup is made.
Please. Mm. On the Facebook page.
Because I really don't think it's tree sap. In fact, I'm like almost certain that
doesn't
it's not.
Sound.
Why
that doesn't
else
sound
would it come
right.
from maples?
I don't know.
What else would it be?
Maple leaves?
They blend the leaves?
No,
come on.
It wouldn't be that.
Sounds awful. I wouldn't eat that.
I don't know what it is.
Pancakes.
I'm sure we could just Google this and just settle this, but I'm not going to right now. I will later.
Ungoogleable. I've tried. Nothing came up.
You tell me you Googled this and you got nothing.
Nothing comes up. Zero results.
I don't believe you.
Prove me wrong.
Okay.
Redwood. Redwood. The can laughter is the star.
The actors have to yell over the can laughter.
Exactly.
I love it. So what do we got? Redwood, Good Bill Hunting, and the Mighty Bush.
Mighty Bush. Mighty Bushwood. Wood of the Dead.
Wood of the
Deadwood.
Deadwood.
Deadwood. It's just Deadwood.
Yeah, nah. Deadwood.
It's just the Mighty Boosh.
The Mighty Boosh.
So, in absence of Aaron being here, he would usually take the helm with the IMDb list.
Mm.
I've taken it upon myself to carry the flame, if you guys will entertain me.
I would love nothing more.
It's a big responsibility.
It is. And I'm not up to it.
How did you go with it?
I'll
how, did you fi- how did you find
it? It was sort of hard because all the lists was... just glowing reviews, basically.
Yeah, because I know...
Because it was such a highly regarded show.
Yeah.
It was just all the lists were best shows that were cancelled, top 10 shows, top 50 shows.
Aaron, when he tries to find these lists, he tends to lock himself in his room for a couple of days. So
Good couple of days.
Exactly, and those are bad shows, so you must have had a real hell of a time.
Mm-hmm. And like a lot of the actors in Deadwood are also like actors with a capital A. Like you're not going to find them on... a list of like actors and actresses I'd like to booty call or something.
You're not going
to
find them on a list with Kevin Sorbo, is what you're saying?
No, no. These are, who is on my list of actors that I would like to booty call?
Well, yeah, obviously.
So
you're only human.
Actors who've booty called me. It's Kevin Sorbo.
Like I said, I started with the show and had minimal luck there. TV shows you really need to watch. No comedy or animated. Plus two best girl shows.
That's the name of the list.
One that was on one. not a big description of that list, though. Top 30 TV villains. I don't know who would have ended up on that. Would it?
Well, I guess anyway. Hearst.
Hearst, yeah. Mm. Or Al.
Could have been Al.
Al a villain?
Sort of.
Kind of. I mean, I
an anti-hero. He's killing some... killing some folk.
Yeah. Oh, you gotta crack a few eggs to make an omelette.
You don't watch these. You don't know what real television is.
What? That's so patronizing.
And then I was having trouble there, so I went to the star of the show, Tim Oliphant.
T.O.
Went to his lists, and one really stood out to me. Male celebrities who are so much hotter than and talented than Leonardo DiCaprio. Honestly, girls.
No way.
Yeah, he made it. He made the list.
Oliphant made the
list. Yeah, he made the list.
Oh, cut so, that DiCaprio.
I'm pretty happy to see that my boy was hotter and more talented than
DiCaprio.
He was also on The Men of 1997.
What does that mean?
I don't know.
Yeah, what does that mean?
Like graduated.
He was around in 1997, I guess. I don't.
He was a man in 1997.
Exactly. If you're a man in 1997, you're on the list. Actors / actresses who could play siblings or be each other's stand-in.
Timothy Oliphant and Josh Duhamel.
And there was a list of like, it was like 300 people, but there was no explanations.
So I mean, how they paired up?
Were they next to each other? I think they could all be related.
What?
That was my interpretation.
I feel like you may have interpreted it wrong.
And the last one, someone had made like, this is a bit ridiculous. They'd made like this whole script or a pitch for a movie called Freedom Hearts. A movie I have made up. This movie is based on a true story about some people I know, and I love their story, and I believe it would be a great movie for everyone to see.
Well, then you didn't make it up. God.
Anyway, a construction worker lives a life in which his family is churchgoers, and his life away from them is sinning and being a young man who is in trouble. In trouble. He is drunk and driving one day and is out of nowhere sober and called upon the Lord Jesus Christ to go to church and fully give his soul to him and to live his life for him. Anyway, so rated PG-13 for alcohol and drug use, language, and sensuality.
Oh, sensuality.
And Ian McShane and Tim Oliphant both got a call up.
Oh, really?
So, yeah.
Wow,
bit of an all-star cast. I think this guy's going to struggle to get all of these people.
Give us the
Tom
top
Hardy's
bill.
In there. Ooh. Reese Witherspoon.
Yep.
Charlize Theron.
Wow.
Ian McShane. Obviously Timmy O.
Kim
Basinger. Chris Hemsworth. Chris Pratt. Aaron Taylor-Johnson. Donald Glover.
They're doubling up on a lot of people that play the same kind of characters.
Exactly. I feel like this guy's watched like five movies.
Yeah, because that cast there bats pretty deep.
Yeah, it bats very deep. Like the last person listed is Helen Mirren.
Jesus Christ.
just for a bit of class.
For what seems like a PG-13 movie that would be, you know, probably $5, $10 million, they probably just loaded made it $150 million picture with just the cast alone.
Can be hard to pitch, but Freedom Hearts.
So Freedom Hearts?
Freedom Hearts.
Look for it.
Yeah. There's no... I don't want to be offensive, but there's no plot in that.
No,
there's no plot.
No.
There's a guy, like...
It went on, I just stopped reading.
It's very specific about, like, what they mentioned. It's like...
I like the title though, Freedom Hearts.
Freedom Hearts sounds like Kingdom Hearts. Mm,
yeah,
like a game.
Yeah.
Wait, what? That's Kingdom Hearts. I've never heard of that.
Mm. Well, you mean you haven't heard of it?
I've never heard of it.
It's like an anime game.
No. It was on the PlayStation.
A guy and all his sidekicks are like, it's goofy and
they paid copyright out the wazoo.
Yeah, well, I can imagine they would if they made
much like this film that this guy's gonna make.
Mm-hmm. I am not familiar with Kingdom Hearts. Never heard of it.
Okay. Well, there you go.
Yeah.
Disappointing. Is that really how we're going to end the show?
About an anime game that I've never heard of and that they paid absolutely through the nose on copyright? Well, yeah, I think we should.
Let's go back to the maple syrup theories.
Okay. Well, it's clearly...
Blood of Canadians?
No, I was going to say the Tears of Powers Booth.
Okay. Ooh, could be.
A mixed delicious cocktail of both.
Delicious enough.
Mm.
Let's go to final thoughts about the show instead. Okay. We could sit here and speculate about maple syrup all day. But, Jez, what did you think of Deadwood?
I reckon it was... It was pretty hard to get three people of our age who hadn't seen it because it was very popular.
Yeah.
People are big fans.
I've seen people watching it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like, people have definitely seen it, is what you're saying.
Well, no. Like, Scott, I've literally...
He walks around the street at night and looks in people's windows.
Just to give us a good baseline.
Sort of his own Nielsen ratings. Oh, he calls them the Burgess ratings. And he goes around here.
They're having a pretty good time. Six.
Takes a tally of all of the what everyone in the neighborhood's watching and releases a weekly newsletter giving people the ratings of shows.
When you do those Burgess ratings, like, is it just like one TV per household, or will you go check out all the TVs?
No, obviously you check out all the TVs, and yeah, okay, anybody's watching anything on a tablet.
Yeah.
Scott finds a way there.
Anything on a laptop.
I mean, the sample size is pretty bad because you probably only do your local neighborhood. But
it's just mainly this house.
It's a full-time job.
Yeah, it's right. My house. My house and your house.
Anyway, oh, okay, good. It
rates highly on the Burgess rating.
That's pretty good. That's the scale I use. Mm. I get Scott's weekly newsletter and I just go, bam, that's trending.
Yeah.
What I'm watching is always on the list. It's crazy. It's bizarre. It's insane.
You're so in the know.
Yes, I'm just cutting edge.
The first episode was great, but sort of ruined now by the last episode because it was so confusing and so many loose ends. I feel like I'd be unfulfilled. But
yeah.
For those of you that have watched it, respect.
Yeah, good job getting through.
Yeah,
first episode, yeah, really, really enjoyed it. I found it a lot easier to understand what people were saying as well. I feel like the language got more dense as the episodes went on, probably because like
they got more into their characters.
Yeah, they wanted to ease people in, and you know, it was mostly just like funny sayings and you know, blah 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 blah. But I don't know. I might give it a go. It was sort of in the same vein as like Carnival for me. Have you ever watched that?
Yeah, I've watched bits and pieces of it.
It's like another show where I sort of just dropped off because I was like, oh, there's so much Western. I don't know if it's my thing.
It's very dense. Yeah,
very dense.
I know what you mean because I got the sense when I watched this, I kept pausing it because I found myself getting distracted doing other things
because
it is such a slow burn and there's nothing early on that really draws you in and to capture you. And so I found jump on my phone and be like, oh shit, now I gotta watch this and take notes. So, but when I look at my notes, like, they're not that detailed. Well, they should be. But also, it wasn't a show that we could poke holes through like we have with other ones. Because
it's hard to make fun of it because the acting is flawless.
Yeah, and it's well written and
it's like consistently in like top 10 shows of all time.
So. Yeah. So, you know, we hit a bit of a, forgive me here, but we struck a bit of gold here.
Oh. Give that man a gold plot.
Yeah, well, I got to bed around 2 writing that, so I'm pretty happy.
that one line, that one.
Yeah, I mean, I've had that ready to go.
My God,
all day.
It paid off.
I've been chuckling all day in the car.
Perfect delivery as well.
Yeah. Well, you know,
gold.
Well, like it, my work here is done. So, where can people find us online, Scott?
You can head to theincompleteseries.com. You can check out all of our other episodes there, as well as a bevy of goodies.
Mm.
You can also suggest a show for us to watch.
We do love a good suggestion, don't we, Jess?
We do. Some of our best shows have been suggestions.
They have been. Can you give me some of those suggestions?
Yeah.
Expand.
Expand so, on that.
I was about to say Space Hawk Nights. Baywatch Nights suggestion. Oh, actually, Quantum Leap also a suggestion.
Yeah,
was Wishbone? No.
I think it actually was. I think I claimed it was my suggestion.
You often do that.
Yeah. We're a few beers deep when that happened, but it was still a suggestion nonetheless. But I think Baywatch Nights, one of the absolute classics.
That's in the TIS Hall of Fame.
Tour de four.
Yeah. I still think about Baywatch Nights every now and again.
I find myself thinking
about every now and again. That and Jag.
Mm. They're the big two.
Are there any two others that haunt you guys?
The two pillars.
Haunt me.
Like, I still find myself thinking about Jag.
I do a lot of home improvement noises. It's sort of like there was a dip from like the late 90s to last year.
now they're all coming back.
And now they're all coming back.
Well, I'd love to see that scale. It's just a long,
I'll
long
put it on the Facebook page.
I also think it's important that we've now seen and understand the mythology behind Quantum Leap.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like that's enriched our lives.
Mm.
Anyway, we'll probably just leave it there. I could just go on about Quantum Leap and we could just diverge all day. But
we could do a separate podcast.
We could definitely do a separate podcast.
In fact, there is already a podcast where people just watch Quantum Leap.
Exactly. So you can listen to that podcast, listen to this one. Also jump on our Facebook page as well and drop a suggestion there if you can. Or check out our Instagram as well.
Yep.
Or our podcast TIS, which is our Twitter.
Yeah.
Which we don't really... Do we use that at all?
We pay some guy to monitor it.
All right. Mm. Someone's being paid to monitor that?
Yeah, he tweets at people. It's got like 100,000 followers.
Oh, wow. It's pretty good.
Really... big on Twitter.
It's crazy. Yeah, he keeps forgetting to mention the show, though. Damn it, man. Every
week. What's he tweeting about?
I don't know, but we keep paying him money.
His name's Podcastus.
Podcastus.
And, poor Pod is not mentioning the show.
Crazy.
Alas.
Well, we'll probably just leave it there. On our next episode, Aaron will return.
The Mountain Man.
The Mountain Man, after he's found the mountain's heart. But thank you, Jez.
You're welcome.
And thank you, Scott.
Thank you, Morgan. Thank you, Jez.
Thank
you, Scott.
Thank you, Morgan.
Thanks, Morgs.
Cheers, guys.
Thanks, Aaron.
All right, thanks, Aaron. Bye, Aaron. See you, Sheriff.
See you, Scott. Yeah.
The mayor.
The mayor.
I may have fucked my life up flatter than hammered shit.